At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Hello and welcome to the podcast Lotus Eaters, episode 1256. I'm your host Harry, joined today by Carl.
Hello.
And Friday regular and brand ambassador for GB News, Nick Dixon.
Hello. Good to be here in my official capacity.
I hope you won't say anything that might get you in trouble, Nick.
All views are the views of GB News until December.
All right, well, you can hold him to that one, folks. Remember, a complaint to the regulator is always there. But first, before we start talking about anything political, we've got new merch on the website that has been beautifully designed, including these wonderful mugs that Carl and I are using right now, which you can find for $14.99 as the Gammonzilla mug. You can unleash Gammonzilla, release the red and pasty inner barbarian, go out, get sunburned on only part of your body, look like a drumstick. It's what Alfred would have wanted. And while you're there picking up your mug, you can also get a copy of Islander, which is still available. And if you don't buy one, you're not invited to my barbecues. Anyway, let's get on with the news, because we're going to be talking about Trump's banning Antifa, Starmer lying again, because it's a day ending in Y, and the new sexist boys club party, which I'm excited about joining, and I hope that you are too. Let's get on with it.
So Trump has decided that he's going to ban Antifa, which is good and fine, and it's been a long time coming. And I'm going to take you back through a sort of trip down memory lane just to see how we got to this point. Because actually, what's a bit strange about this is that the fear of Antifa has kind of cooled off in the last couple of years. You'll notice that they haven't really been doing all that much. Like, when was the last time you actually saw them, like, doing a black block or something like this, right? It's actually been a few years, right? So it's a bit...
2020 was their best work.
Yes. Yeah, but... Yeah, no, it really
Everything
was.
That came before was a little bit esoteric for me.
But
that's when they hit their mainstream heights.
During the George Floyd riots is when they really sort of became ultra famous. But yeah, anyway, so before we begin, go get Islander, obviously. But, right, so you can see that they first came to prominence back in 2017, and I've just taken this Vice article as emblematic, because as you can see, California anti-fascists want racists and the Trump administration to be afraid. So, basically, they were always a violent, radical, bourgeois fringe of the left that was just not, well, of the left, but like these are the hard left in America. But the thing is, they were always quite unimpressive people, like this typical Antifa.
Oh, Jesus.
Member.
Oh, scrolling down. Oof.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing about this is that they were always hiding their faces.
Yeah.
And making sure that they couldn't be, you know, tracked down, because they would often go and beat up people, like the infamous bike clock guy.
Yes, we'll get to him.
Oh, I'm sure we will. But it just makes it all the funnier that, like, earlier this year, when we covered that South Park episode, what were they making fun of ICE for? Oh, they want to hide their faces. Only bad people want to hide their faces.
Point.
Where was the Antifa episode, Matt?
Yeah.
Trey, where was that one?
That is a good question, actually. I didn't think about that. But yeah, as you can see, they've got little signs, kill Nazis. So essentially, this was the radicalized fringe of the Democrats who had decided and had been really radicalized on university campuses to think that the violence that they would engage in would be justified, and that essentially it would be kind of like superhero violence, as in they would punch Nazis and nothing bad would ever happen to them.
Unlike Captain America punching Hitler.
Yeah. I'm not even joking. There were many, again, documentaries made about them. We'll watch a little bit of this one. But you can see, like the softness of these people. These are university cities that have attracted a bunch of, you know, 20 something bourgeois leftists, and now they're acting like tough guys.
Get the fuck up!
Fear is a part of our tactics. We do want Nazis to be afraid to organize in public.
Yes,
it's our
terrorists.
Job to go out there and say, no, we're not going to allow you to spread these ideas.
Let's all go make it clear. Fascists are not welcome here.
So I'll stop it there, because you got the impression of the kind of really lovely people that we're dealing with.
Thank you. I can only take so much cringe.
Yeah, I mean, this does go on for another thing.
It's got to be the easiest job in the world, making sure that fascists aren't in Philadelphia. There's like six of them.
Well, the thing is, Nick, they call you a Nazi so they can attack you. Mm. They're not accurately identifying Nazis.
But the thing is,
had noticed.
You can contrast it with what happened in Australia recently, where there is the actual group of actual Nazis who call themselves Nazis, who did encounter Antifa and just beat the ever-loving crap out of them.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you look at them, you can see these are just essentially LARPers, because Antifa was originally something that emerged in Europe, in Germany and France, in like the 1930s, right? And so these were radical communist revolutionaries at the time who were much more serious men, you know, like, you know, actual industrial workers in Europe in the 1930s are a much more dangerous proposition than a bunch of radicalized university students in 2017.
There is such a thing, though, as the dangerous, resentful coward. Like, there was a sort of a...
Oh, yeah.
There was a conspiracy-type person putting up a post the other day saying, how can Charlie Kurtz killer be one of these they-them TikTok people who are so fey?
They're normally doing school shootings.
Well, yeah, exactly. They do that. And to shoot someone from that distance, you don't actually have to be that alpha, do you? You just have to be a resentful freak.
Yeah.
So, and we've seen them train with weapons and stuff, so that doesn't really stack up. So they can be soft and sort of in a fist fight, but still dangerous.
Individually very soft. But you can, I mean, look at the sticks that they're carrying, the flags on. I mean, they would deliberately bring weapons like that to attack people with.
Another thing about the Tyler Robinson, Charlie Kirk's alleged killer, is that people were saying when they were trying to make the argument that he was right wing, oh, he comes from a right wing family, though. Yeah, so do most of these people.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, so much
hate their dads.
Yeah, leftist politics is predominantly in like motivated by hatred of your parents. Yeah.
Yes. So as you can see, a bunch of people literally waving communist flags, running around with big sticks, attacking people that they have deigned as a Nazi. How do you know? Well, he's got an American flag. That's how I know that guy's a Nazi. These people contributed to a dramatic coarsening of politics in the sort of late 2010s. Before then, politics was very liberal, should we say, in the sense that it was expected that you would debate and discourse, and actually violence was not on the table. And these people put violence on the table. Political violence, specifically.
The Proud Boys were formed to counter them.
Exactly. And so the right obviously had their reaction to this, because all of fascism is just a reaction to communism. And here you can see they've decided they're going to ruin the liberal rules of engagement, which are, we're just going to have a talk and then we'll settle it that way. No, we've decided we can't win the argument and therefore we're going to go to violence. And as you say, Nick, you know, individually, they aren't exactly terrifying propositions, but when you have a mob of like 300 of them walking along with sticks, yeah, that's dangerous to anyone.
Yeah, and there was a case where they beat up that Hispanic Marine, if you remember. There's been loads of things like that.
There's been loads. Yeah.
I mean, gang of them, if there's still four of them and there's one of you, it's still going to be tricky.
Exactly. You're still going to get your ass kicked, aren't you? And then you've got them like throwing Molotov cocktails at police officers, and this was in Portland. So Portland has been a radical hotbed of anti-fire activity because of how white it is. The whiter and more left-wing the place, the more you get anti-far radicals. Now, I'm not going to give you a good overview of what's happened in Portland, but basically, Portland University is more radical than most, and it's an entirely, like, almost entirely left-wing campus. Peter Boghossian was there, they forced him out, and since then, Portland has just been in a massive downward spiral. They had an autonomous zone spring up in Portland. They had various fights with their police. They set fire during the George Floyd riots to the police station. And I think...
Was Chaz in Portland?
No, I think it was Seattle.
Oh, yes.
But they did have their own autonomous zone, though. that was set up in Portland. They burned out a bunch of police stations. They set fire to the building of the mayor. Because when this first started happening, Mayor Tim Wheeler thought, oh, well, I'm a left-winger. I'll go down and hang out with these guys. And they were like, no, get out, and started throwing stuff at him and chased him out. And then they set fire to his apartment block. There's a court as well. They set fire to a court.
Have you ever been to Portland?
Yes.
I've been. I went to an alternative comedy festival. Those are the two things they're known for: alternative comedy festivals and violent communist groups.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's literally in it.
What
and
were you doing there?
I was in fact giving a talk at the University of Portland in 2017. It was literally just before all of this sort of stuff started kicking off.
You were why they were there.
not this particular time, but literally it was months after I'd been there that stuff started kicking off. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Good job you missed that. How did they react to your set?
Well, I was doing fairly normal jokes at the time. I wasn't doing this kind of content.
You'd not gone mask off yet.
No, there were hints. Just, you know, it was mainly relationship stuff with the
What's the deal with Thomas Carlyle? On the what question?
So Portland, like I said, was definitely the worst for it. And all levels of, like, city administration would be completely genuflecting towards Antifa's movement. And this is where Andy Ngo comes from. He personally comes from Portland. It's where I first met him. Obviously, lovely guy, but he's been hounded relentlessly by Antifa. And so he's made it something of his personal brand to keep a track on exactly what they're doing. So this must actually be a wonderful turn of events for Andy, because these people treat him as if he is some sort of terrorist himself. Because what he does is, of course, publicize what they do. And that's not good. I mean, there's a reason that they wear the masks. And so Andy has spent the last decade or so basically just uncovering them, posting the pictures of them when they're arrested. Here's their mugshots. This is what they did, as a journalist would do. And one time they spotted him in the street a couple of years ago. Well, in 2019 this was, actually. Really, it was that long ago? I didn't realize it was that long ago. Yeah. And they beat the hell out of him. And this has happened a few times. And so Andy has got just cause to be quite angry with what is just a terrorist group, a terrorist group of left-wing radical communists.
And they still spray graffiti everywhere sometimes, saying "Kill Andy Ngo."
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He's become their sort of their witch, right? And so they're constantly on the hunt for him, because they probably wouldn't even know who I was, but they definitely know who Andy Ngo is.
I remember they had to check him for brain damage and stuff. It was a pretty bad beating. Imagine Andy Ngo being your main enemy. Isn't that kind of absurd? He's just a gentle guy.
A very gentle, gay, immigrant man from Portland, yes. But he's a conservative, so he's officially a Nazi. But anyway, so you've got loads of examples historically of Antifa just leathering people in public for no reason. And like you say, on an individual level, they're not very impressive, but anyone can get a sucker punch in on you, or in this case a sucker bike lock. This was quite a famous one from I think it was about 2017 that really put Antifa on the map, because it was very apparent that these people just have no scruples, they have no morals, and they don't care about you.
That's what you want, right? You go right.
Oh, go ahead.
You go.
I'm filming you. Oh,
I'm gonna hurt you. You
are. What's this chap in the back?
Oh, he's bleeding. Yo.
Hey, medic!
He's bleeding. Hard.
So that's the kind of thing that people came to expect from Antifa. And that's the kind of thing that they got. This chap here at the back who whacked him with a bike lock out of nowhere. I mean, frankly, it was a deadly weapon. That was a guy called Eric Clanton. He was an ethics professor at Diablo Valley College. So that's very ethical, I would say. Clocking someone unawares with a bike lock. He had done this to multiple other people as well. There's four counts of felony assault with a deadly weapon he was charged with, causing great bodily injury, but he took a plea deal and got 3 years probation. Just whacked five people in the head with a bike lock, mate.
How messed up do you have to be like, oh, I'm an ethics professor. What do you do on the weekends? No, it doesn't. Never mind.
I beat children.
Yeah, I clock students in the head.
Isn't that incredible?
Actually, given the track record of the kinds of ethics that ethics professors argue for, this actually makes perfect sense.
Yeah. They're only tackling fascists.
Exactly. And so, obviously, he's a radicalized communist. Obviously, he's one of the Berkeley professors, like left-wing Californian professors, which is where all of this comes from. This is all ideological.
Was he at least taken off of being a professor at the course?
I think he actually was.
He got promoted. he got tenure off the back.
Would be surprised that he didn't. But anyway, so, and then you have the case of Aaron Danielson, who was shot by Michael Reinhold. Michael Reinhold was subsequently shot by the police when they went to arrest him. So he got into a shootout with the police. This was a horrific incident in 2020, where it was during the Black Lives Matter riots in Portland, where a guy with a MAGA hat was walking through the town, and Reinhold was like, "Oh, I found one!" Bang, and I got one, and that was it. Just walked around a pillar and just shot him dead in the street. So it's not that they haven't done plenty, and like I said, I am not giving you the depth of the amount of violence that Antifa have been...
Was it Antifa, a BLM, who just murdered a black police officer in the middle of the street?
That was BLM.
Yeah, I thought so.
Actually, he was literally coming up to retirement, apparently. He was an old chap, wasn't he? But anyway, so the point being is, this is a radical left-wing communist group that is born out of university cities in America, who are LARPing as 1930s anti-fascists. And they got a really, really, really nice time in the media. I mean, CNN would just write them puff pieces in 2020, just going out of their way to launder their reputation, as in make it so, oh no, these guys, they call themselves anti-bad guys, and so they must be anti-bad guys. And I'm just choosing a few of the paradigmatic examples of this, because there are so many of them. There was a non-stop media blitz back between 2017 and 2020, when Antifa was most active. I mean, here's one from BBC Radio 4. 7 things you need to know about Antifa. They're the anti-bad guy squad, which is basically the entire summary of this. And they point...
The bad guys, we call ourselves the good guys. It says right here.
Thanks, Radio 4. I feel so informed.
I love that 7, like cozy, like BBC, 7 things you need to know. It's normally about like sourdough bread, like how to make guacamole or something. And it's like 7 things you need to know about this violent organization that hit people with bike locks.
This is this violent communist radical group who want to overthrow the country. I've got a great quote from this. Quote, "Their willingness to use violence marks Antifa out from many other left-wing activists. Although the Antifa members we spoke to say they denounce the use of weapons and violent direct action, they said if violence does occur, it's a form of self-defense." Oh well, there we go.
We spoke to ISIS today, and there, I have to say, their arguments were compelling. Apparently, it's all the West that's the problem.
We now go to Hassan Piker. But so this is like genuinely. I mean, these are the hard radical fringe of the left, and they were given such just cozy write-ups.
Can I say something on this whole laundering thing? It's people have got to realize how extreme this is. I've been using terrorism a lot, the word, not the act, on Twitter. should clarify.
Wasn't expecting that kind of admission on the show today.
Don't clip that up.
Remember, GB News Ambassador.
GB News Ambassador. I've been using that term because, I mean, people in America have been using it a lot, like Matt Walsh or MAGATA, but people here haven't quite grasped yet.
But it is terrorist.
With this Charlie Kirk killing, what the left's moving into is their terrorist arc, basically. It's like, if they weren't already. And then people like Oxford University, you've got this kid who is their incoming president-elect of the union, right? He's advocated political violence in debate. He's celebrated someone he's actually met, a guest of the union, actually being murdered, so we know it's not abstract. Yeah. And then what have the university done? They've defended him and claimed we're all being racist. So they are tacitly defending terrorism. I mean, there's no other way to look at it.
That's one of the things I said yesterday when I was saying that, okay, we're all anti-cancel culture, right? But these people who are cheering on, celebrating it, and advocating for more, do you want them educating your children? Do you want them serving your food?
Right.
Do you want them administering your drugs if you need an injection?
Right, and people haven't quite grasped it yet. Some of the sort of libertarian type, right, I was listening to a Spectator podcast, of all things, for some reason, and Michael Gove was sort of saying, you know, I wish him well, and stuff. It's like, I don't wish this kid well. He wants to kill you.
Yeah,
like,
why would you?
You wish him well.
He literally said, they got Charlie Kirk, lololol, or something like that, right?
And they both missed that he had done that debate where he advocated political violence in this podcast. I was like, guys, you still don't grasp what we're dealing with. And it's so frustrating. And my question is, all these people like the BBC and all these others, or Oxford Union, we were going to see who doubles down and who rapidly backs out. You can already see, like, on Good Morning Britain, Susanna Reid's gone, whoops, as I call it, the ovary window. She's actually, shut up, Kevin Maguire. Charlie Kirk wasn't all these things. So you'll see some people with some sort of conscience going, oh, what have we been backing all this time? Mm. Because the media now, as you're pointing out, they've given these people an easy ride. And now they've
got active cover for them.
And now we see what that means. It means killing people like Charlie Kirk. Yes. So it's like, are you going to own that? Are you going to back out? And if they own it, it's like you have to realize who you're dealing with.
Yes, and that's exactly the point. The reason that they call you far right or anything like that is to put a signal flare on for people like this. So when they see you out, they'll be like, oh, right, there's the Nazi. I've got complete license to do whatever I want to Nazis. And if worse comes to worse, I'll probably get probation. Right. So if I go beat the hell out of you, I'll just get probation. No big deal.
And the naivety against that always just strikes me. Have you seen the meme of like the libertarian on the ground being strangled by the BLM radical? And he's just going, but I support your gun rights. Oh, they don't care. They don't care.
Whether you cancel them or not, they're gonna cancel you, and some of them are gonna shoot you, and the others are gonna celebrate it. Whatever you do, whether you cancel them, don't cancel them, free speech, non-free speech.
And their arguments, oh, I see you're not for free speech, really. It's like, you hate free speech. You write tracts, article after article, denouncing free speech. You argue that we should all be denounced, and then you're basically just going calling us hypocrites. It's like,
I'll live with that at this point.
Yeah, like, exactly, yeah.
And their hypocrisy is on display, celebrating Tucker Carlson being sacked, celebrating Roseanne being sacked. It's like, oh, it's a tragedy in America that Jimmy Kimmel sacked. I'm like, you were celebrating this 10 seconds ago. Yeah. Just don't believe anything they say. I see them like Gollum. It's just like, oh, nice hobbitses. Yes. Nice hobbitses. You know, we wouldn't hurt you, precious. It's like, until you get like an inch where you can see that you can beat us around the head with something, kill us for the ring.
Yeah. We are the Samwise Gamgee in this fight.
Don't trust him, Frodo.
That's exactly it. We are the Samwise Gamgee. We're going to beat the hell out of him.
I'm not giving Michael Gove credit of being a Frodo.
No, he's not Frodo. But but these people who are saying that, I saw a piece like, now we've got to, it's like, guys, we've gone too far. We've got to bring back free speech. It was like,
we'll bring back free speech after we've got our scalps. Thank you very much. Yeah. Like, I'm absolutely sick.
But we mean metaphorical, by the way. That's
metaphorical scalps, obviously. But I'm totally sick of this. Like, you're in the middle of the fight. It's like, right, you're winning. It's like, oh, you got to stop now. It's like, why? The fight's still going on.
Like the coach at the side of the ring in the boxing match going, stop. Yeah. Stop, he's had enough.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, I'm going to win the fight, then we'll settle the score, you know?
I love Barry Wise's thing. Like, you know, they could get the same power. They're literally killing us.
That's what they've been doing to us.
They're killing us already, whatever happens. Like, what if they got the same power? I imagine they'd kill people and laugh about it. I imagine, I don't know.
Well, I know what they do because they do that. Yeah. But, like, how many of our friends have been deplatformed over the years? Like, why does Stefan Molyneux not have a YouTube channel still? Like, it's totally acceptable. Destiny.
I think he does now. He might do.
No, it hasn't been brought back yet.
Oh, is it
he's
not
back
the same
on Twitter.
One?
Oh. I don't know if he's got a new one. But he had a YouTube account similar size to mine. And one day they just took him off because they created a bunch of lies about it. And for some reason he's still off. And yet Destiny and Hassan Piker are calling for the people's deaths whenever they like. And they still have YouTube channels. It's like, no, we're still in the middle of the fight.
It's still weirdly put on TV. You know, like, people keep putting Destiny on TV. Well, it's like, can we stop?
Not just that. Have you seen all the puff pieces about Hassan Piker as well?
Yeah. Like, this year we've had like half a dozen of them at least.
You did a whole piece on one of them.
Yeah.
They love Hassan
hanging out
Piker
by the pool, being awesome, advocating violence.
Yeah. Just. Gut them, says Hassan Piker. It's like, what are you doing? Anyway, so this is the essence and sentiment of Antifa. And I think, I was saying that they haven't really done much since sort of 2021. Well, I think that's because the sentiment that underpinned Antifa has just infused the left more broadly. In the same reason we don't hear about feminism anymore, it's just the assumptions of feminism just became a part of the left more broadly. And I think the murder of Charlie Kirk showed that actually Antifa are just what the left tend to believe now. They're just that radical. They really do think that you should be killed. And they will laugh at it. So anyway, Trump has been... I forgot about this. There's a guy called Mark Bray who wrote an instruction book. Have they got a picture of it?
No. I remember this, actually.
The Antifa handbook. I thought they'd have a picture of it because you'd recognize the front.
I thought it's just a decentralized non-network of individuals. Well, why do they need a handbook?
That's interesting, actually, because if we go back, like they say, oh well, you know, it's
an idea.
It's just people doing things. Okay, but this is organized, right? So they are organizing, and I should have got some more videos up because there are loads of them where, like, you know, is CNN or Vice News or whoever go to some Antifa cell and they talk to all the people involved. And so they spend time, you know, with all of these people. It's like, right, so this is an organization because these people are organized, and that's why you can sit down with them all and have a chat with them. So there is organization there, even if it's not as formal as, say, you know, something that's registered as an institution.
Yeah, and Oren was pointing out this is how they work, so you can't pin them down to one place and they can claim they don't really exist, but they all sort of autonomously, one can shut down, there's still loads of others. It's like it's a tactic.
It's literally like an Islamist terror cell. That's literally how this is. So you've got like, oh, it's Al-Qaeda, it's ISIS, it's whatever. And the same people are just moving between, you know, groups.
And just on that book, you'll walk around shops in like leafy North London. It'll be like, here's the Antifa handbook. And you're like, and you're like, are you guys going to keep going? Once they become, I don't want to get ahead of you, but officially a terrorist organization, are you going to keep selling that? That's what I'm interested in. Like, does Waterstones advocate terrorism? This is what I want to find out.
And moreover, if Trump's like, yeah, they're terrorists, we're going to put them on the terrorist watch list, does that mean Antifa in other countries are an issue? Because, I mean, like, you know, if ISIS are like, oh, they're terrorists in Iraq, well, what about when they go to Syria? Are they terrorists? I'm pretty sure they're still terrorists there, right? So, like, this is Antifa worldwide gets designated as a terrorist group by the United States, right?
Interesting. They'll probably just change their name, though, won't they? Like, Hope Not Hate or something. They'll be like, they'll have a new name, like Good Guys or whatever.
They already called themselves that. Anyway, so 5 years ago, Trump's been talking about this for a long time now. Back in 2020, Trump wanted to ban them. And of course, they're like, it's just a loosely organized movement, bro. Yeah, so was ISIS. And we're still going to ban it, right? So, you know, you're still getting banned.
I mean, aren't Palestine Action more violent than Antifa?
Well, they're not more violent than Antifa. Palestine Action's a bunch of old people.
They managed to class it as...
Yeah, they were a terrorist group. Yeah. I mean, where's their headquarters? Like, it's just a bunch of people showing sympathy for a particular political persuasion. So, so Trump has announced them as a designated, that he's going to designate them as a terrorist organization. I'm going to read his Truth Social post. I am pleased to inform our many USA patriots that I'm designating Antifa, capitals, a sick, dangerous, radical left disaster as a major terrorist organization. Trump. I love Trump's tweets so much. I will also be strongly recommending that those funding Antifa be thoroughly investigated. That's the German government. The German government funds Antifa in Germany. In accordance with the highest legal standards and practices, thank you for your attention to this matter. Now, it's actually not clear what the legal impact of this is going to be, because in America, as they point out, federal laws allow them to label international groups as foreign terrorist organizations, but actually there's no established precedent for domestic terror organizations. So I don't know what exactly they do. I don't know why they could just write some legislation and then pass it, because they control the House and the Senate. So who knows? But the point being, Trump has decided this is enough is enough. Even though, like I said, they haven't really done anything recently. But also, Orban has decided that he's going to follow suit. And there was recently a vote in the Dutch parliament to also designate Antifa as a terror organization. So it looks like the time has come. Looks like the day is done. Looks like we're hopefully going to not have to worry about being assaulted by communists when we're doing anything that we're doing.
Well, we'll see what practical matters come from that. And we've got quite a few super chats and Rumble rants and some very generous donations today. So thank you very much. First of all, JM Denton on Rumble donating $100. Thank you very much. Saying, just had good news on the job front and want to support my side.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. On super chats on YouTube, we've got Zerg for $50. Is that Australian $50 or whatever?
Yeah, I think it's Australian.
Yeah, yeah. Ahoy Carl, longtime viewer Hassan Piker just got interviewed by the ABC. Yeah, Australian.
See what
our
I mean?
Our version of the BBC about how he is condoning political violence. I feel like it should get more attention.
I haven't seen that. I'll look that
up. It might be a daily video idea. Yeah. Zerg sent a few more as well, saying condemning political violence. Sorry. Alexander Court, AOC, I think, was pretend crying at a fence with the media because she wanted to make the left think the right had concentration camps. Remember this?
Yes, and that inspired a terror attack against one of the ICE facilities, didn't it? By some lunatic.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thankfully, he didn't kill anyone. He just got himself shot, but like...
Could have been way worse.
Yeah.
According to FC, Molyneux is back, but they made him start with a new channel, losing all his subscribers, given
really?
The subscribe.
That's awful.
Yeah. On Rumble, we've got another one through. Matt Hammond, did Antifa's resurgence in punk bands of the 1980s start in the UK, or does it have its origins in continental Europe? I'm pretty sure Andy talks about that in his book on Antifa, doesn't he?
It's been a while since I read it.
I think it began in the 1970s, and it kind of popped up all around the same time in Europe and in the UK. But you also had, like, the skinhead punk split, but that's a different subject. Matt sent, did you see the Netherlands classified Antifa as a... Yep. And Ryan Hunnigan just saw an attack ad against the Republican candidate for governor in New Jersey in Spanish. Scott Presler, if you can hear. Scott Presler, please save us. Submitting my application for ICE today. Fair play. All right, then. Let's get on with yours. Here is a mouse.
Thank you. Vildas has incredible hair. He looks like
a villain, doesn't he?
Bond.
I get kind of an uncanny valley from Vildas. Same.
I need this one as well, is it? Oh.
You can just use the mouse.
Okay.
You can take the thing.
I don't know how to actually use it. All right, let's see if I can do
Don't do anything radical, Nick.
No, I hate change. All right, so I was thinking about doing the Kimmel thing, but you guys had already covered it, so I thought we'll do this as a bit of light-hearted relief after that segment. And this is Trump and Starmer. So Starmer can't stop lying to Trump, but also just in general, really. Where the hell is the mouse?
Not even... Mouse is down here. Just keep going right. There you go.
Keep going right.
It's harder than it looks, this guy. It's not like at home. No, it's not like at home. There's a weird action to it. Anyway, this one is Starmer talking about the proud tradition of free speech in this country.
Again?
Yeah, again. He loves it.
And on free speech... that has long lived in this country, free speech. It's one of the founding values United Kingdom. And we protect it jealously and fiercely and always will. And we will bear down on any limits on free speech. I draw a limit between free speech and the speech of those that want to peddle paedophilia and suicide social media. To children.
Doesn't even make sense. I'm not peddling social media.
I'm also for protecting children from things that will harm them, paedophiles, those that peddle suicide, which has had a terrible consequence for individual, particularly teenagers. And so that's the balance we strike. But we have had freedom of speech in this country for a very long time, and we will always protect it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Brian. Please.
Trump doesn't know.
Trump didn't listen to a single word he was saying.
I'm against harming children and suicide. I mean, like, you can't be hard to argue with that, Starmer.
So why are the police knocking on my gran's door going, yes, you were a racist on Facebook?
Great question. Look, why do we have 30 arrests a day? Here are some of the mugshots of all the dangerous people like Alison Pearson. I mean...
Is he accusing these women and people of just being paedophiles or something?
Right, it's extraordinary. I mean, he can just stand there and lie. So we have an estimated, according to reports earlier this year, based on analysis of custody data, police are making more than 30 arrests a day over offensive posts on social media and other online platforms. This equates to 12,000 arrests each year. But Starmer can just stand there and just lie.
Proud tradition of free speech.
Right.
Just shut up, Starmer. You're such a liar.
I wonder how this compares to the world. Now, I haven't checked the data where he got this data from, but Tommy had this, and he's right about the United Kingdom one, so assuming the others are right, we lead the world, guys. We are crushing it in arrests for online comments.
This is where our soft power
comes from.
This
is the soft power, over 12,000. Belarus, a shoddy second with a mere 6,205.
So that's 9,700... So, like, the top three combined are not as much as we arrest. Mm-hmm. That is...
Germany, not surprising, but it's like China, pretty chill, a mere 1,500. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like
Libertarian
Russia,
paradise.
Russia, 400. That's what we might not know the real data, but come on. Like, France, 54. Like, France, you think is like relatively similar country, but they're like, no, not bothered.
Yeah.
Not bothered.
Iran, a literal Islamic theocracy. 100.
A tasteful 100. I mean, Jesus. Absolutely unbelievable. And someone had the per capita where we don't do any better, right? I didn't.
Oh, yeah, I bet we're way worse.
It's too late to get it, so it probably isn't there, but it's too late to get it, add it as a clip. Oh, here we go. Here it is. It's yeah. And we're still second. Belarus overtakes us.
Belarus something like 6 million
tiny,
people.
But we're still. Yeah. I guess. But we're still second. I guess, yeah. So there you go. So the Starmer's absolutely talking absolute balls. But let's see what he says.
Let's carry on, yeah.
Migrants. So Trump gives him some good advice about the old migrant invasion.
Speak about it. And I think your situation is very similar. You know, you have people coming in. And I told the Prime Minister I would stop it, and it doesn't matter if you call out the military, it doesn't matter what means you use, but it's going to destroy, it destroys countries from within. And we're actually now removing a lot of the people that came into our country. It's a very hard chore. It's a very, we were given a very, very bad hand. Millions of people came in from prisons and mental institutions. We have to remove them. And we are removing them. We have no choice. And I feel very strongly about it. Thank you.
Starmer looks like he's going to shit himself.
He looks like that throughout the whole thing, because he's trying to, like, what's a totally neutral face?
Yeah.
Which is probably the one thing he's good at, the man that doesn't dream or have
the
a
NPC
personality.
Meme, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, well, how do I show nothing? Anyway, Starmer won't need, of course, Trump's advice on migrants, because he's absolutely crushing it. First one in, one out migrant deported to France. We sent one back, guys. We sent one back. We did it.
The floodgates are opening, exactly. Boys.
Mahmood actually had a video, the new Home Secretary, saying we sent someone back, so it's all up and running, it's rolling, it's one.
One!
Person. It's one.
On her first day, 1,000 came in.
I think so far this year, 31,000 have crossed the channel.
They're like, we've got one back.
I love this quote as well.
Only 3,099 to go. Yeah. Wait, no, sorry. 30,999 to go.
So it follows three consecutive days when the Home Office failed to remove a single migrant under the one-in, one-out scheme because of legal challenges largely based on claims that migrants have been victims of modern slavery and trafficking.
Don't care.
There's another funny bit where they had to leave without them. Oh, yeah. The Telegraph understands that a plane scheduled to deport a second migrant on Thursday afternoon left without them after legal challenges.
So it was empty. So they just took
off. Just had other people.
Well, I think they're commercial flights that they're putting them on.
Yeah.
So as part of this scheme, you also have to, if you're going to France on a plane, you might have to put up with a load of smelly illegals.
Yeah. Can you imagine the plane just going, are you coming or what? No, too many legal challenges. Just go. Like, unbelievable. But I want it to be very fair and up to date. So today, they managed to send the second one.
Getting there, boys.
Migrant return to France.
A court challenge for every.
That's what I'm saying. After government wins court challenge, you are challenged for every single one. So it takes our entire legal minds, like all our legal might of Starmer, the lawyer, and Mahmood, to actually send a single one or two back.
Do you want to know what today's data is?
Oh, go on, go on.
122.
It showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
122 came across today.
Really? And we got one and it was due back.
It's not even
according
two.
To the government.
Well, yeah. One in the afternoon.
120
yeah.
down.
Yeah. I mean, in the last 7 days, what were they? That's not correct. Anyway, sorry, go on.
Well, I can tell you, Carl, don't worry. I've got the data here. I've got actual footage in fact, of the one in, one out system. Here it is. Let's have a little look. That's the government's one in, one out deal in action. That's pretty much how it works. Is he wrong?
No.
29,000 likes say he's not. So there you go. All right. So, there's also, by the way, we did this on the telly the other night, the slight problem of the Home Office-backed charity that seeks to thwart the one-in-one-out migrant deal. There's a charity. Now, it's a little, the details are a bit like whether it started under the Tories, but there is this Bail for Immigration Detainees charity received over 400,000 in Comet Relief donations. And what they do is they offer templates and they give you basically the whole guide on how to game the system, essentially.
Yeah.
The guide includes template letters migrants can use and suggestions for how to use legal and human rights arguments to fight deportation. And this charity was backed and funded so by the government, essentially. So they're blocking their own policy.
The Tories did this as well, though. They would fund activist groups that would oppose what they're trying to do. It's like, why are you doing that?
Well, a lefty that was on GB News and he was very keen to point out this ended in 2024 and blah, blah, blah. But this has been just the government just doing this in general, whichever uni-party party it is.
Yeah.
So pretty incredible. All right. And then, so back on your topic, Starmer refuses to answer Trump on Antifa.
Just recently, President Trump labeled Antifa domestic terrorists. Would you consider doing something like that in your country?
Well, we obviously will take decisions for ourselves. I don't want to comment on the decisions of the president, but we take our decisions ourselves.
That's an incredible response, but are you going to make brand them a terrorist organization?
Take our decisions ourselves. I mean, absolutely saying nothing again. Yeah. We're a country.
Yeah.
That's all you've said. Yeah. We're against harming children, and we are a separate country.
Yeah. This being a Brexit benefit, I'm sure. But, like, you know, are you going to say that Antifa are a bunch of communist terrorists here? It's really not that hard.
Much harder for some to say, because they are the sort of paramilitary wing of lefty...
The Labour Party, yeah.
So, now, this is one that picked up a lot of traction online. I noticed it straight away as well. It was the Starmer pretending to be Christian. So this is massive.
Really?
Yeah, and this one, I've not been able to find any video that isn't slightly glitched, so look out for that. But he's asked whether he's a Christian. Actually, Bev Turner from GB News asked him. She's quite an advocate of abortion, so I thought it was quite strange, but a separate topic. Anyway... she's one of these nutters that said...
I like the way that you're just casting, you know, throwing fires everywhere.
She annoyed me because she says that... She annoyed me for two reasons. One, she wanted to take the 11 p.m. slot, which would take a load of my friend's work. But two, she said that she did a piece on GB News saying that unborn babies have no rights. I'm like, well, you can't kill them after 24 weeks. They do have some rights. It wasn't even true. And she's like, they should have no rights. And until someone takes their first breath, they're not a person. I'm like, just want to kill them up to birth.
So you're still punching right, I see.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
Insane. Anyway, that's what I thought was strange. Like, she was talking about Christianity. I like Bev, but I just didn't like that. Anyway.
Yeah, look, I mean, in terms of... I was christened, so that is... my church has been all my life. And we are, you know, that is wired into our informal constitution. Of course, we celebrate many other faiths as well. And I'm really proud that we're able to do so as a country.
Isn't he raising his children Jewish?
Yes. Yeah.
Because his wife's Jewish.
Yeah.
So,
he can't be that devout, then.
Like I say, every version of that video I could find had that glitch, but he said, I was christened. Which you'll know, if you're Starmer's age in this country, means absolutely nothing. I was christened. Everyone was christened. You know, I'm a little bit younger than Starmer. Christened doesn't really mean anything.
Only a little bit, though.
But why would he pretend to be a Christian? Very bizarre. Because my church?
You don't go to a bloody church.
Very weird. He's known... for being a massive atheist. Atheist Keir Starmer avoids reference to God and pledge of loyalty to King Charles III. He literally avoided the pledge.
Because he was literally a student communist. Obviously, he's been a diehard student communist. Obviously, he's been an atheist his whole life.
Right.
Like, these are such trivial lies. Like,
even Angela Rayner took the oath to God. Ange, big Ange, but Starmer...
Based Ange.
I only like the law.
Oh, if only we could get her back.
Yeah, she's relatively based. And just more evidence from Leilani here... so Starmer asked if he believes in God. No, he replies without hesitation. I don't. This was in the Times. Yeah. This would make him the first atheist prime minister. I'm not of faith. I don't believe in God. Unless Trump's standing next to me.
Yeah, unless Trump's there.
Then I'm so inspired. I suddenly do believe in God. I thought I'd just bring up the difference between the oath and the affirmation. So the one that Starmer took was this one. I do solemnly, sincerely, and truly declare and affirm that I'll be faithful and bear... true allegiance to His Majesty King Charles, his heirs and successors, according to law.
Oh, well,
so
if
he basically
the
worships
law,
the law.
Yeah.
That's
so the full extent of the law.
Right. Whole force of the law. Whereas based Ange said, I swear by Almighty God that I'll be faithful and bear true allegiance to His Majesty King Charles, his heirs and successors, according to law. So help me God. And
I'd rather give that oath than the affirmation.
But don't ask about my stamp duty, but I will be faithful to God. So that was.
Oh, where is she now?
I know.
Probably
need a better.
In a third home, you know.
And so that's the difference. So bizarre that he's chose to become a Christian suddenly there. This one's maybe relatively trivial, but it's about
the worst
quite funny.
Inflation in the history of our country. We had inflation, the likes of which we've really never seen. They say 48 years, and I'll accept that, but I really don't. We had the worst inflation in the history of our country. And we had a expression that I used a lot, drill, baby, drill. And as you know, we brought fuel way down, the prices way down. And we don't do wind because wind is a disaster. It's a very expensive joke, frankly. And we got our energy prices way down. That brought the inflation way down. And now we have very little inflation. And we have a very, very strong economy. So that was very important. Drill, baby, drill. And you have a great asset here. We spoke about it. It's called the North Sea. The North Sea oil is phenomenal. And I hope, because I love this country, you know. My mother was born in Scotland. And the Hebrides, Stornoway, that's Syria, Scotland. We were talking about it. And I want this country to do well. And you have great assets that you're going to start using, I believe, under this prime minister.
In that one interaction, Trump managed to show more sincere love for this country
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Than Starmer ever has.
In the entire Labour front bench.
He also managed to say drill baby drill twice within 1 minute and 4 seconds. I love that bit as well where Sam went, yeah, it's like pure party. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's, but he's there thinking, I'm fully wind-based, you know.
Ed Miliband's going to kill me for this.
Right,
and Ed Miliband wants a wind farm in my garden.
Yeah. Oh, I've actually got official footage of Ed Miliband after he heard that. This was what that was his face.
Is there a full Wikipedia page for this one?
The famous bacon sandwich incident, yeah.
Oh, dude.
That was Ed.
And people say they can't integrate, man, honestly.
So he's just, it is so funny, just tearing up all Starmer's policies while he stands there pretending not to notice. Trump had his... To be fair, Trump was sort of known by the mainstream media for lying, wasn't he? Like, he lies constantly. It's like Starmer is outlying him. Just lie, lie, lie. But Trump did get one decent one in here, which I thought was fairly amusing.
Finally, if I may, the elephant in the room, Lord Mandelson. He is no longer the ambassador. Do you have some sympathy with him that he lost his job over historic links to Jeffrey Epstein? Thank you very much, sir.
I don't know him, actually. I had heard that, and I think maybe the Prime Minister would be better speaking of that. That was a choice that he made, and I don't know. What is your answer to that?
Well, I mean, it's very straightforward. Some information came to light last week which wasn't available when he was appointed, and I made a decision about it, and that's very clear.
That was smooth by Trump. That was very smooth.
Maybe the Prime Minister. I don't know him. You don't know the ambassador to the United States that you were just hanging out with, like, last month.
We have photographs of you with him.
But the thing is, it's actually way more plausible for Trump to say that. Because, I mean, okay, some guy comes in, he says some things, and he fucks off, right? I don't know him.
He was a British guy. I don't remember him.
Exactly,
right. There's so many.
There's always so many ambassadors. Yeah. But, like, Keir Starmer picked him.
Right, yeah,
and put him in charge. It was like, no, you're the guy. It's like, but hang on, Keir. Everyone knows that Mandelson...
And that's
is a wrong one, right?
Some of the other reporting that I heard when he said, oh, well, we didn't know the information before it came to light. And it's like, no, but there have been reports that you guys did know that he stayed friends with him after the conviction. So what, it's just the emails saying like, we'll still be friends, but I don't agree with the conviction. Was it that pushed it over the edge? It's like, well, as long as you were friends...
And of all the people on Earth to have chosen... So yeah, I'm thinking about Peter Mandelson. It's like, okay, but there's definitely something going on with Peter Mandelson. Even if you don't really know the depth of like his relationship to Epstein, it's quite evident that Mandelson's a wronger, and you just don't want to have that guy around. But you know, someone's like, no, it's fine.
Could have been tipped off by his nickname, the Dark Prince.
Yeah, the Prince of Darkness. Yeah,
I just want to watch
maybe they just thought he was a big Aussie fan.
Yeah, fair. I just want to watch this again because listen to the room. Actually, it's not going to play again. Oh. I can't work the tech. Otherwise, I would watch it again. Never mind.
The Boomer Dixon anti-Midas touch.
I've broken the whole system. It doesn't matter. But the whole room went ooh, and then Trump just does this little smug face. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not worth.
I did enjoy watching Trump leaning over him like that.
He goes, "What do you think?" And then the whole room goes, and Trump just goes, he shrugs and just smiles at the camera. Like it's just so funny.
Very smooth.
Then there was the moment where he patted him, which some people liked. But Trump obviously is very, very ridiculously pro-Israel, but some people focus on that part, but some people focus on the pat.
They're a terrorist organisation who can have no part in any future governance in Palestine. And what happened on October the 7th was the worst...
That was
like, my wife's going to be happy with this tonight.
Yeah, it's just such a weird thing.
Very condescending.
Yeah, that's well done. Well done. It's just hilarious. Anyway, if we have a time, here we've got a tiny bit of time. I thought what I'd do, just very briefly end on, is this philosophical question of, does Trump actually like Starmer, which everyone's been trying to figure out, like, or is he manipulating him? You know, or are the two things the same? And Bannon actually claims that he does like Starmer. Oh, this is not queued up, so that's going to be more boomer tech from Nick. It's actually, guys, people at home don't realise how difficult this is to control. It's not normal.
It's very...
Steve Edgerton asked him if he likes, if he thinks he is against him or not. Let's see if we can play it.
You turn up a bit, Samson.
The administration trying to take down Starmer. Do you think the administration is trying to take down the Labour government?
You mean this administration?
Yeah.
I think President Trump thinks very highly of Starmer. Personally, you ask anybody around President Trump, I think he likes the guy a lot. No, I don't think see any activity in that whatsoever. I don't. And I think President Trump, you can see from when Starmer was here 3 Mondays ago, I'm actually surprised. And I'm surprised that President Trump gives Starmer and Macron as much time as he gives them. He likes, you can tell, he has a personal chemistry With Starmer, I'm not saying that may not separate in time over time, particularly if Starmer, you know, I'm not sure the president's been fully briefed on Starmer's 11%, you know, approval rating. But you can tell, I think he likes the guy, and I don't see anything coming at all. And we're pretty close on, you have JD and some other people talking about it. As we are trying to just warn about it, I don't think anybody is doing it in the Labor government. They're doing all that themselves. They're doing more of that themselves. The people on the left, the more you try to suppress speech...
Oh, he goes off on a very long tangent about free speech. So he thinks he actually likes him.
Yeah, but I believe that he does, right? Because literally... Starmer has just been like, yeah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to abandon all of my beliefs and just barefaced lie to him all day. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm totally free speech. I'm totally for drilling oil. I'm 100% MAGA as far as Trump is concerned. And so Trump comes in and goes, wow, this guy's 100% MAGA. How great is that? You know, never would have expected it. And he's such a blank canvas that I can kind of project my ego onto him. And I get, you know, just that reflected back. So it's just like, what a lovely guy. I can
yeah, I get the kind of feeling it's like the friendship that you have in school with the special needs kid.
Maybe.
You know, there's not much going on in there, but it would be rude to be, like, not nice to him.
Yeah, although that kid may have actually a good heart, because it's on, jury's out whether Starmer does. Maybe he does.
He has one at
Maybe
all.
He does at home. But, yeah, I mean, Trump, the sole criterion for getting on with Trump is being really nice to Trump.
Yeah,
so just agree. He likes Macron, as Bannon says, he likes Starmer. It doesn't make any sense, but it does. In the Trump world, it doesn't have to. In the great man theory, it's just, oh, I like this guy, don't like this guy. But then does he really? Because other people say, no, he's manipulating him. But I think that's a given. Any relationship with Trump, he's like, has to be on top. So it's kind of a given that he's manipulating you, in a sense.
But I genuinely think that Starmer just BS's his way through every conversation with Trump and just agrees with him on everything.
Yeah, and he's very comfortable lying, so it's not that hard for him. So
yeah, he's literally not got a soul or anything. So.
And some people remarked, isn't it strange when Trump comes to town, you like, maybe we feel a bit better. But as Stephen Barrett said, who just did a brilliant podcast with me, actually, I dread Mr. Trump leaving the way a battered partner dreads the house guests going, our government hates us. Not wrong, is he?
Yeah, he's not wrong.
They hate us. They want Antifa to get us. They want to put us in jail. They don't want to put the woman in jail who said kill them all on TikTok or whatever. She's fine.
She's fine. Yeah, she's got fine. A visit.
They want to put Mr. Slit Their Throats in prison.
Right.
Yep. Jesse Jones.
Just does lots.
Yep. Yep.
But when Trump says, like, free speech, and then but then he goes and Starmer's back to the real Starmer. Yeah. We have to deal with
Starmer comes back in, takes off his belt, and it's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And to be fair to Bev, she is doing good work on Air Force One, constantly saying to Trump, what do you think to Lucy Connolly? What do you think to the lack of free speech? Yeah. Like, I'm hearing this for the first time. Like, he doesn't know about it. Anyway, so that is my bit for today. Thank you very much. Do I read something out?
And thank you, Nick.
No worries. I just thought I'd have to end it on something.
You're welcome.
There's that
famous high trait neuroticism.
I just had to end it. You've got to end it on something. Because I was like, do I have to read? Do you read a bit out now?
Would you like me to read through them? I'll read through them.
Well, I can never see these. They're on the table.
Yeah, that's hidden. Okay. You can just move your computer.
Sorry, you do.
I'll do them.
I'm only here on Friday. I'm a guest.
So on Rumble, that's a random name. Starmer talking about paedophilia and protecting teenagers is incredibly rich considering his love of Ukrainian male teenagers.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Yeah, what happened with all of that anyway?
Four rent boys attacking Starmer's house and the media's like, nothing to see here, boys.
Yeah, don't look behind the curtain. FLK clips, is it just me or after the horrific assassination of CK... Charlie Kirk, I internally just crash out at any leftist post I see, either how retarded they are or how disingenuous they are, maybe a mixture of both.
Oh, I'm going to read the best tweet in the world, right? I'll probably do a video on this.
Oh, all right.
Just because it's the funniest thing in the world, right? So an author called P.E. Moskowitz writes, TikTok owned by far-right conglomerate, Twitter owned by a Nazi. Every TV station bending the knee. Anyone who doesn't follow directives getting sued in silence. America has never been great, but at least we had free-ish speech. What will we have left after this? And every single reply is just a picture of the book he wrote in 2019 called, and I quote, The Case Against Free Speech.
Yeah, I've seen that. Incredible, isn't it?
Thousands and thousands, he just scrolled, thousands of pictures of him and his book. And it's like,
That's how brazen it is.
It's just...
That's amazing.
It's genuinely incredible. And it's just people who's like, you know, well, what are you doing, bro?
That is the ultimate. Because David Patman's was pretty bad, but it's like, hey, this is great. ABC took a business decision to get rid of Roseanne. Then he's like, Kimmel, it's the end of free speech. Yeah. It's like, it's the same. It's literally the same network.
And it's the same reason. Business decision. Yeah. Literally, he's down to like 100,000 viewers a night.
But this guy's the next level. Like, free speech crisis. Why free speech is bad? It's just like...
the case against. It's like, oh, I have a book about this, actually.
Yeah, it's like gaslighting as a sort of Olympic sport, almost. It's like...
Should just start pulling out passages from his book.
I might get it, you know.
Yeah. Scott Saigai, I think he's friends with Keir the same way Biff is friends with Marty McFly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absification, Starmer is giving Trump all the concessions with the trade deals as well. Yeah, that probably helps butter him up. Yeah. YouTube, Benny says England will prevail. Thank you.
Correct.
Michael says Fabian society should be proscribed in the UK.
Thing is, it's far too deep in the institutions. Like, everyone you see on the Labour front bench is a member of the Fabian society.
Yeah.
Did you see Bastani's claim about that?
Yeah, oh, it's nothing really.
It's just a direct debit that you have to pay to be in Labour. It doesn't mean anything.
It just so happens that Keir Starmer, Yvette Cooper, Sadiq Khan, like all of them are a member of the... Yeah, it's just a club, bro.
Cole says, look up Mohammed and Al-Zut, you're welcome.
Oh, do you not know about this?
No.
I'll tell you about it later.
All right.
It's probably not safe for work.
Yeah, I got that feeling from it. Someone says, ignore name, we now have England flag graffiti in Sweden.
Based.
Yeah, great. Amber Lamp says, queer Starmer. Very clever. Normal Man for 20 Canadian dollars. Thank you. Says, beep, bop, boop. I'm Artard Starmer, bop, beep, bop, boop. You're just getting me to read this shit out, aren't you? Just pay what humiliating, ridiculous thing can I get Harry to read out for money now? But you are giving us money, so I will read it out.
The YouTube audience is quite, not quite the same caliber
as our elite Rumble audience. Spinner Pete, how do you know a politician is lying? His lips are moving. Here is the proof. Yep. YouTube bias. The left hate men unless they are illegal migrants. Yeah, check. Pretty much. Oh, one more. Principled uncertainty put £10. Put this towards replacing all the Diet Cokes Nick drank out of your fridge.
Oh, I bring my own, actually. I pay for them myself, but thank you, Principled Uncertainty.
That's the
he comes on my streams as well.
Throwing shade that I have to buy my own Diet Cokes.
No, I love the idea. They think I just get endless free Diet Cokes. I get nothing. Nothing.
Yep. All right, let's move on, Nick.
Okay. Make sure you start formally.
I'm just shutting you down right now. Enough, right. Nick. We don't need to hear it. Anyway, I'm not bullying Nick. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Anyway.
You don't want the Diet Coke secret to get out.
So it turns out that Jeremy Corbyn has actually started a new party for all the bros.
Based.
And we're all invited. The Sexist Boys Club Party.
Legend.
But within this larger story is nestled a story of arrogance, of hubris, and of betrayal, ultimately. Because I, for one, am shocked that the latest far-left party, made up of a bunch of varying ideologues, Muslims, gays, other kind of queer activists...
Transgenders...
racial activists, that suddenly they can't actually keep it all together. I, for one, am shocked. And this is where we start the story. Only a brief 9 days ago, on the 10th of September, Zara Sultana, the star of our story here, posting saying that we're not here to beg for crumbs off the table. We're taking the effing lot. I would play the clip of her saying this to some enormous crowd. Is it Glastonbury or something? I don't know. Don't really care. But I don't want to have to subject you to the shrill, nagging tone of her voice.
I think we should, though. I do actually think we should.
Well, bosses...
They made you read out beep boop.
That's true. But bosses' orders, folks. Sorry.
Can you put your hands together and make some noise for Zara Sultana?
Does she sing that?
Student death, rising bills, crippling public services, genocide in Gaza. And right now, fascism growling at the door. And we say, fuck no, we are going to fight back. For the first time in a long time, we are saying, we're not here to beg for crumbs off the table. We're taking the fucking lot.
Oh, God. This is your party.
Staggering oratory.
I'd say Churchillian.
Yeah.
He's taken lessons from the greats, clearly. Cicero couldn't have conducted such a great speech there.
Imagine you go to a festival and you're just hoping to see your favourite contemporary band and you have this.
Were you in the audience?
You have to sit through Zara Sultana. Isn't that incredible?
I'm going
to
steal everything you have. It's like, oh, great. Thanks, Zara.
You didn't dare.
Imagine waking up in the morning and being Zara Sultana.
No, thanks.
Couldn't do it. But that was only 9 days ago. Your party, of course, was launched last year. They're going to take the lot so they can redistribute it to various Islamists. Last month. They're going to redistribute all of your money to various Islamist and foreign causes, I expect.
What I love about the launch of your party is just how comical it was. Like, Zara Sultana's like, I'm going to start a party with Jeremy Corbyn. And Jeremy Corbyn's like, we're not announcing it yet. What are you doing? We haven't got a name.
The very first thing was her screwing up.
Yeah, and Jeremy Corbyn, like, was it ixnay on the new party, eh? And then it's like, okay, we've got the new party. What's called your party? And then, so the media's like, oh, well, they've launched your party. And then she's there like, that's not what it's called. And Politics Joe, who are the ones who announced it, like, well, what is it called then? And she just didn't reply.
And they don't have a name for it yet. So it's not actually called your party, but all of the branding
it's your party.
And the website is called your party. So who knows what's going on? I, for one, am shocked at the lack of organisation being demonstrated here. I expected a better calibre of communist.
They make Reform UK look like the Red Arrows into slick cohesion. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep. Farage's butlin performance at the conference suddenly looks really good, doesn't it?
It does look a lot better. But then, yesterday, I received in my work email, because for some reason, some bastard behind the scenes took all of our work emails and signed us up to your party. So thanks for that,
Samson.
I assume. And I got this email saying,
so did I.
Dear Harry, today is the day. Our membership portal is now open. And then some rubbish spiel. Yep. Who cares? We're genuinely democratic and member-led. Anyway, click this link down here and you can sign up and you can pay £5 per month or £55 for an annual fee so that you can be part of our registered party members or something. And then...
So it is called your party then?
Yes.
I mean, they keep putting in capital letters. If it's not, they shouldn't really do that.
Right.
If they're saying it's just your party, but not actually your party, like, why are they both capitalized?
It's not your party, it's my party.
Right. It would just say at the top and the bottom twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I suppose they did settle on a name and it just happened to be the one that they said wasn't the name. Again, stunning.
Incredible.
There's no way Corbyn's never going to allow that name because he doesn't like the name. That's her name that she's launched with.
Well, I mean, is he leader anymore, though?
Great question. Let's find out.
We'll get into that, yeah.
We'll find out. And then you see that she also posted about this, saying, we said this was your party and we were doubling down on the name over and over and over again. And we meant it. We've launched our membership. Join us with the same link that you can get to.
So can I just note that that looks like a phishing link to me?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, it's not yourparty.uk. It's yourparty-membership.uk. And I have been fooled far too many times not to be aware of this at this point.
Listen. She's not an Indian man. She's a Pakistani woman.
That's true.
There's no chance she could be scamming any of us.
It's not membership.yourparty.uk.
No.
Your party brackets Zara's bank account.
It's a different URL. Allegedly, it's a different website.
Kidding, Zara.
I can't help but notice that's totally a bit weird.
And then, not even 12 hours later, I suddenly receive this desperate email. Dear Harry, this morning an unauthorized email was sent to all your party UK supporters with details of a supposed membership. This email, bold text now, should be ignored by all supporters. If any direct debits have been set up, they should be immediately cancelled. The agreed process was announced as part of our independent alliance group of MPs, Jeremy Corbyn, Zara Sultana, and a bunch of other names. Please, wait for more information, blah, blah. In solidarity, Jeremy Corbyn and a bunch of names, but not Zara Sultana.
Interesting.
Bunch of names with one common factor.
Yep.
The People's Front of Judea is splitting off from the Judean People's Front before our very eyes.
And notice he never uses your party except in the URL where he has to. He says the new party. Because Corbyn doesn't believe it's your
good
party.
Good point, yeah.
Yeah, they've got legal advice being taken. Corbyn himself posted it on his Twitter account, again, with the same snub in the signatures on there. So, what's going on? Well, Zara decided to hit back.
You might just call it my party here, Corbyn.
Yeah. We've hit 20,000 members. What's 20,000 times 55?
Well, I mean, it's not going to be 55 for everyone, but if every single one was like £5 a month, it'd be 100 grand.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of money.
And so she's probably...
That'd be a lot of money.
Probably got like 200 grand, something like that.
So I'm off to Barbados, boys.
But Like,
but right-wing, bad faith actors are desperate like to claim Corbyn. This Lincoln's fate. Like Jeremy Corbyn and everybody else in the Independent Alliance of MPs, except for me.
So she's just scammed 20,000 of Corbyn's followers.
Safe and secure.
Well, I mean,
safe and secure.
I mean, it
boys.
Securely goes to her bank account.
Yeah, it's safely paying for her next holiday, potentially. Speculatively.
Satirically.
Satirically, yes.
That helps me out on TV sometimes.
But this is remarkable, though, isn't it? So, right, so she's decided to not only launch the party with a name that Jeremy Corbyn didn't like, but after a while she was just like, yeah, you know what, I'm just going to start fundraising for it against Corbyn's wishes, emailing the membership, forcing Corbyn to countersign and say, no, that's not the right one. And she's there, oh, right, so you're a far-right
and
actor.
You've not even done anything yet. In terms of what the party, whatever it's called, has done, this is the first thing that has happened, is Zara Sultana immediately, satirically, begins to scam people or look like she's scamming people.
Do you know what? This has given me a newfound sympathy for Keir Starmer. All is forgiven. Imagine trying to run a party with these people in
it. I'm not surprised he kicked them out. I'm not surprised.
How would she have stuck to the discipline of collective responsibility in the Labour Party?
Jeremy Corbyn has now been hit with the allegation of being a right-wing, bad-faith actor.
I always knew it.
Which she doubled down on
Her
official statement, her response, saying that her sole motivation has been to safeguard the grassroots involvement that is essential to building this party. Unfortunately, I've been subjected to what can only be described as a sexist boys' club.
If Jeremy Corbyn, of all people on earth, is leading a sexist boys' club, then I'm in.
Corbyn was like, ping, that's the name. Yeah. That's the name. I've been
waiting. Is an increasingly attractive prospect as a party.
My sexist party.
Suddenly AA is like, he's the only true outsider. It's like, well, that's kind of true, actually.
Because the thing about the left, because their moral superiority just comes from some views they read in a book once, they don't have to behave well ever. So they can just be, they can be sexist. Yeah. They can do whatever they like. They're often like, they're always sexist. They're like weird Me Too stuff. You know
that's
what I mean?
How we join the left.
Yeah, so what we've found out is that Jeremy Corbyn is both going to decouple us from the shackles of international finance and get them back in the kitchen.
Get them back in the kitchen. Yep. Leave the EU. Stay out of the EU. Yeah, he's anti-EU. He's anti-women.
Yeah.
Lots to like about this guy.
Well, he's against international public ownership of our utilities. He wants to bring
anti-war.
He wants
he doesn't
to stop
want
the,
me to have to pay back my uni loans.
He was against COVID passports.
He doesn't want the Euros to own all of the stuff in our country.
So, he likes trams.
Yeah. Yeah,
pro-tram.
Pro-tram,
anti-women. It's his pro-tram, anti-women agenda.
We're memeing ourselves into actually supporting
He's a lot more based than we gave him credit for.
Charismatic.
I suppose so. She also makes a claim that one of the other female members, Carrie Murphy, I'm starting to sound like Stelios's Arnold impression, Murphy, saying, I do not believe members will accept her and her associates having sole financial control over members' money.
Oh, right.
All of the Muslim men in the party aren't going to be happy with the women holding on to the money for them.
So I looked into MOU Operations Ltd.
Organization
that the money is going to. Basically, long-time left-wing activists.
Well, yeah, there's a particularly interesting one who's part of that. Again, people picked up on this. This is a great name, amazing branding. We need to make this a thing.
I would join that party.
Put it on a mug.
Yeah, Rupert Lowe jumped in on this because the first thing that you have done is tried to potentially scam members and then accuse the party of being sexist. So Rupert's like, oh, it's going to be super awkward on the reject bench in Parliament now. So cheers, Zara.
That's such a banger tweet.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty nice of him because he's like, we'll be in it together. Nice. Yeah,
it's such a bang tweet because he's been sat next to them for like the last year or so, and now they're not even going to get on. And so it's like the reject independent MPs bench, and it's going to be just like,
Rupert and Zara could form their own thing.
Well, I think Rupert will get in with Corbyn, surely, now.
Yeah, you're right, actually. He's like the boys' club.
Yeah, exactly.
Sign me up.
They might slightly differ because Rupert's a big fan of Ayn Rand, and I'm no expert, but I'm not sure Corbyn's economics would quite fit with the rampant free
it's
market.
It's a big tent. It's a big tent.
Yeah, it's a big tent. As long as... Listen, you
it's
can
very
differ...
Big, it's a massive tent.
You can differ on the details. As long as we all hate women.
Exactly.
You're in.
We don't like the EU and we hate women. Right, right, right. And half of them are Muslims. They're going, yeah, obviously.
Oh, God. And you're
satirical content, not GB News.
The party, whatever they're called, put out a statement saying, actually, we do like this Carrie Murphy person. Zoltana's made a unilateral announcement, blah, blah, blah. She's just consistently... Like, the party has basically come out to immediately throw her under the bus.
Good.
To say, she is shit.
And she deserves it, because this is very clearly some sort of internal power struggle inside the party about how things are going to operate. And she's obviously been really inappropriate and impatient with all of this.
She preempted the launch, clearly, and then she basically did it again.
And then she's scamming everyone to get through the mailings.
They've reported themselves to the Information Commissioner's office. That's the first thing that you want to do as a party.
Yeah.
That's a great start to all of this. And there's some more information through here in this article saying that a source close to your party told Sky News that a row between the co-leaders had been brewing for some time. No shit. The new organisation got off to a rocky start when it was announced by Ms. Sultana in early July, which blindsided Corbyn. And also the pair confirmed the party... bloody, bloody, blah. It appears that Mr. Corbyn, though, because there's even more stuff going on behind the scenes, so this is just one disaster after another, potentially. Mr. Corbyn was removed as a person of significant troll of your party on Monday.
I saw that on Company's House.
Yep.
He was taken off, literally a couple of days from being the owner of the party, in the same way that Richard Tice got, yeeted out of bloody Reform's control.
Mm.
There seems to have been some sort of coup.
He's still a director, right? But he's not...
I mean, apparently, he's remaining a director of the company. Perhaps this is something to do with democratizing the party so it's not just Corbyn's brainchild. But if these are the people that you're working with, Jeremy, maybe you should keep stricter control. This is what the Soviets found out when they took over the Russian economy. They're like, oh, God, people being in charge of things actually is useful. We need that.
And you know what's interesting as well? Corbyn, for all of his faults, is a veteran politician, right? He actually knows how this game is played, whether you like him or not. And it's not just that he won on being a Labour Party member. He won as an independent as well, right? So he does know the game. And Zara Sultana is basically screwing this up repeatedly for him.
It's a classic kind of father... I would normally say father and son in the kind of... Cat Stevens mold. It's a kind of she's impatient.
Yeah.
He's like, no, just be patient. Want it all to be his way, though. She's like, no, we want to launch this now. We're taking everything, whatever she said. And he's like, no, we're just take your time. And she must be so frustrated, but he actually knows what he's doing.
But he's correct,
He's correct. And he's going to win as well.
That crowd didn't know when she said take the effing lot. She meant their bank details.
the email
mailing list.
It's like, scan this QR code right now.
I like how open she is about it, though. Yeah. You know, I'm just going to steal all your money. Here's a fishing link.
I just like that she impulsively jumped ship from Labour straight over to this. So clearly, if the party has any sense, they're going to kick her out now.
Yes.
So what now? Does she go crawling back to Labour? Is she an independent? I suppose she might just have to be an independent because she's burning bridges everywhere she goes.
Would you want to work with her?
Imagine you're too bonkers for the bonkers... leftist sort of splinter group, and you're like, no, I'm even more bunk.
Allow me to show you my qualifications, and it's all in crayon.
I saw a bunch of lefty commentators being like, oh yeah, Corbyn's on the right of your party, and I'm like, Jesus.
That's true.
Yeah,
if he is the Keir Starmer of your party.
Yeah, if even
he's like, let's be sensible.
Right. Yeah,
let's not get carried away.
Let's not immediately start. Let's wait till we're in government to start stealing people's money.
She can maybe join with Burnham because Burnham wants to. Yes.
That's exactly it. I bet that's exactly the conversation.
Right. Let's do it officially in a top-down way, not with mailing lists, but with the power of the state.
We'll steal the money when we're in government, Zara. Calm down. She's like, no. Sorry.
No, it's all right. But there is something more insidious behind all of this, right? Because, you know, it's all fun and games. But like you said, you looked into the actual people who are in this holding company that seem to be some of the potential financial power behind this whole party. And one of them isn't just some random leftist activist. He actually has quite a bit of... of background to him, and that's this Mr. Andrew Joseph Feinstein, who is a South African, who moved here and is one of the directors of the company. And it doesn't take far to go into his Wikipedia page, where you can see that he is an insane radical. Now, whatever you want to say about South Africa prior to Nelson Mandela and everything,
we can all agree it's going great now.
Yeah, we can all agree it's going great now because he was elected in South Africa's first democratic elections following the abolition of apartheid as a member of the ANC, an explicitly anti-white party that ran South Africa into the ground and was led by terrorists, because that's what Nelson Mandela was. He was a terrorist. Did he leave the party because of anything to do with terrorism? No, it was because of they didn't investigate allegations of huge bribes. He must have been so shocked. What? An African party corrupt? No, not on my watch. So he left, moved to London, and despite not having the qualifications for it, immediately became an investment banker for 5 years. Funny how he could just switch.
How did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm done with load seaters. I'm going to go become an investment banker. How would I make that happen?
Yeah, so I think it's...
You could do it, Carl. I believe
in you. I don't know what I would do to make it happen. I don't know who I'd speak to.
Chat to Gary Stevenson.
Who am I emailing? You know, like, who am I phoning up? Like, sorry,
I guess he must have had contacts.
I guess so.
Probably through his totally not corrupt membership in the terrorist organization. Sorry, Democratic Political Party, the ANC. So I find it quite worrying that a guy like this is still skulking around British politics and trying to involve himself in it behind the scenes of some insane radical leftist party. But at the very least, I can be certain that they will probably not get anywhere near power because they can't even sort a mailing list out without trying to scam everybody.
Amazing.
There you go. So let's go through the chats and Rumble rants.
Let me get a couple. So, Mr. White says, Carl, when you lived in Germany, did you go to school in Rhine Island? Yes, Windsor School. I did indeed go there. If yes, it's highly likely we went to school together. P.S. Proud of you. Followed since the early YouTube days. So thank you very much. And yes, I did. It's all closed now, though, so that's all gone. You know, sad. Garvin says, have you or someone you know been scammed by an MP of the British Parliament called Morgan, Morgan, and Morgan now? And that's basically what's happening, man. That's like literally what's happening.
Somebody's linked a video explanation of the Al Zut stuff. Do I?
Yeah, it'll be David Wood. I'll explain to you afterwards.
Oh no, I'm not looking forward to this.
It's nice. It's good stuff. It's wholesome Quranic reading. Principled Uncertainty says, I remember South Africa being a wealthy country. Must be the Mandela effect. Corbyn, do not redeem, sir.
You're set.
Clever, yeah.
Yeah. Hi guys, can you explain to me why everyone agrees that America is the leader of the free world but are horrified when they need to be colonized? As a territory that needs to be colonized, can you explain this to me and why? No?
I don't really know what you mean by the question. What do you mean by colonized? Do you mean like America sends troops over to the UK so that...
Worse, America sends Big Macs.
That person's
we're already colonized, if that's what you're asking. We got colonized in the 40s when we allowed American soldiers to occupy us as part of the resistance against Europe.
That person's so colonized, they're spelling butt with two T's, like the American way, butt out. Did you notice?
Yeah, I did.
That's pure colonization.
We had another $20 or similar super chat just above that one. Bull on the right side of history, keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. Zesty King on the website. Obviously, go over to the website, sign up for £5 a month. We're not scamming you, right? You are literally, when you come and sign up to lowseas.com, you get exactly what you're promised, which is the ability to leave comments on our website.
And access to the absurd amount of content that we have. Someone on Twitter replied to me the other day, unrelated to anything I was posting, saying, hey Harry, like the work, should I sign up to the website? Yes.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And can I just say though, also sign up for mine, which is Your Lotus. UK. It's a slightly different
Your Lotus-membership.uk.
But it's more like me orientated.
Yeah. There's a signing fee. Let's go through the video comments.
Ah, this would be the anti-Trump protest.
Oh, my.
I've never seen so many white people in one place. Oh, my God, look at the state.
Even the people behind this, he was like, what the bloody hell?
They're rethinking their choices. Like, maybe I'm pro-Trump.
Yeah.
When they see that.
Amazing.
Wow.
Go subscribe to Russian Garbage Human as well.
Oh, yeah.
So Bible Gateway is the number one website for reading the Bible. It's always number one on Google. Unless, of course, you're in the UK or EU where you get content unavailable. Reading between the lines, it seems as though somebody sent them a legal letter saying, hey, you can't provide these services in the UK and EU, probably something to do with data privacy. Why did they target Bible Gateway? So I'd recommend you get yourself a nice hard copy. This one's particularly easy to read, and of course, it's anglicized.
Honestly, it's probably just the online safety bill.
Yeah.
Because loads of websites, if they can leave comments or anything like that, like the online safety bill basically destroys their website in many cases.
But yeah, it's easy to get a copy of the King James Bible. That's what I've got.
But you do want those. They are very useful, those little Bible sites that give you just the quotes and little summaries. That is very annoying and classic Starmer UK.
What the...
Drop your weapons, or I kill your man! Kill him, he's not our man.
All right, we'll move on. Oh yeah, I have seen liberals being like, oh, we need to boycott Disney for some reason. And it's do it, okay.
Thanks for the mech video comment suggestions, but one problem the Mechnomancer faces is that nobody is building mechs beyond making YouTube clickbait. So until he builds a second mech, no fights can be had. But maybe we can get Marduk the mech to squish a pumpkin once her legs are wired up. Specially programmed UU droid, Spud, signing off.
I'm in favor of Robot Wars.
Thank you very much.
Like the first several...
I suggested that he was asking for suggestions on what to do, and I said Robot Wars.
Yeah. Oh, look at their little faces. Finish him. They look cute now, but I'm telling you, they are going to become a murderous plague to all of the animals that live anywhere near you. And they will repeatedly bring in animals and, like, they'll hide them behind the fridge or something. And the first you'll learn about this corpse that has been rotting behind your fridge is a cloud of flies that will be in your kitchen. This has happened to me. And it's
Has it happened recently?
Yes,
yeah,
very recently.
It sounds like it
did. Like, thanks, cats.
Worst my cats ever did was one of them... He's dead now. But one of them...
Not because of this, surely.
No, not because of this. Brought in a rat that he had in his mouth that was as big as him, that was still alive, that he ran up to my parents' bedroom and then dropped it off in there and ran out.
Yeah, that's happened a bunch. Not with rats.
And my dad had to, like, go up with a broom and chase the rat out. And he learned that day that rats can jump very high.
From the website, Zesty King says, I went to university in Lancaster, and in the city there's a very left-wing shop that sells soap from Palestine and vegan jelly. I went in there and once saw a children's book on Antifa depicting them as cartoon heroes punching Hitler on street corners. Very weird thing to see in the UK. Are we not? Sorry, I thought...
Shout out to Lancaster, that's near where I'm from. Used to go there a lot.
So with the BBC... reporting the 150,000, everybody's focused on the headlines of these articles. But there's one tiny detail down here that I think people have missed and seems to be very important. This is Tommy Robinson talking about the Epping Court judgment, where the UK courts had decided the rights of undocumented migrants superseded those of the local community. Why did the BBC put local community in scare quotes? Do they not recognise the local community?
No, clearly they don't. Just like the independent judiciary didn't either.
But Tommy is completely right about that.
Oh yeah, he is absolutely right. And I think that's all the video comments now, so let's go through the website comments.
Furious Dan says, by rightly labelling Antifa as a terrorist organisation, the Trump administration can now go after the network supporters and that is supported by them, from cell organisers to corrupt sympathetic district attorneys and their financiers. Yeah, I mean, that would be great, wouldn't it? You know, Trump starts rooting out an actual terror network.
Oh, one sec. We had some more decent super chats through. Someone is saying that the men of Al-Zut destroyed my... I
will... Look, guys, I'll explain Al-Zut to him afterwards.
Yeah.
It's cuck fetish porn.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Plague Lord Ardoff, moving swiftly on, says, thanks for mentioning Stefan was still around. I lost track of him after his documentary on the Hong Kong takeover. Wikipedia still has him tagged as a white supremacist and extremist. Like, he is, like, anything but an extremist. And as far as I know, all the trouble he got was he did a few interviews with, like, Charles Murray.
Yeah.
Stefan Molyneux. He's an extremist on your eggs drying up.
Yeah, that's good.
Pretty extreme on that.
That's because
ladies,
he cares.
Your eggs are drying up.
I love
to my compound.
Yeah, that's Elon Musk doing that.
Yeah. I love his bits on Taylor Swift. Like, you know, that's where this whole egg thing began. Yeah. You know, getting old, Tara?
All I see is dried up eggs. Yeah. He just sees it everywhere.
Maureen says, good news from the Netherlands. Yes, their House of Representatives voted to follow the US. Yeah, I know, I covered it. But that is great news. Jimbo says, I'm looking forward to President Trump announcing a deal with El Salvador to imprison the violent gang known as Antifa. God, that would be so funny, wouldn't it? A bunch of soft-handed Californian leftists, Portland leftists, get sent to the most notorious prison in the world.
That's a sitcom we all want to see.
Isn't it, right? Can it just be televised? Josep says, ethicist is a profession where you get paid to justify every evil imaginable. It's completely unsurprising that an ethics professor is evil. Yeah, exactly. Like, most normal people don't need, actually, to be taught how to be ethical by Karl Marx. Like, most people, actually, are just normally good people. Furious Dan says, it's one in, one out, remember? There's still 31,000 to go. Yeah, I know. It's just... It's almost kind of comical, right? It's kind of Monty Python-esque, where you've got like 31,000 and it's like, we got rid of one. It's like, brilliant, pat yourselves on the back.
After strenuous legal challenges, we got rid of one. And now,
how many
two.
Have come in since?
Yeah.
It's like a Mitchell and Webb sketch or something like that, isn't it? Like, it's genuinely stupid.
I want that computer program. Have you tried killing all the poor? Well, I'm not saying that we do it. Just see if it would work.
Just test it. Binary Surf says, I felt physically sick watching Trump dick ride Starmer for 20 minutes. Why couldn't he just say, I love your country, but not you? That's just goes to show how weak Trump is. Well, I mean, it goes to show just how servile Starmer is. That's the thing.
I also don't think that would make for good diplomatic relations if you just say straight to his face, I hate you.
Yeah, when Zach Polanski becomes prime minister, that's exactly what he's going to do, though.
Exactly.
Binary Surf tends to have a counterintuitive take, because most people wouldn't think that Trump was dick riding Starmer. But could be.
Well, the thing is, Trump thinks Starmer's a nice guy because Starmer has just lied to him repeatedly for their entire relationship.
Yeah, and Trump's like, that's my thing. Yeah, it's the last thing he saw coming.
Chance says, protecting not white children from things that will harm them except Muslims. Honestly, Starmer's such... I just couldn't do it. I couldn't just come out and go, right, okay, yeah. So I'm actually for trans rights and for the Islamification of the United Kingdom because, like, you know, a Muslim president or something had rocked up. I'd be like, okay, well, we're going to be a bit frosty, you know. Like,
funny thing with Starmer, I was listening to something the other day and someone said, remember, he wasn't even in politics till his 50s. And you can sometimes forget that. Yeah. You often hear that he doesn't like politics. He doesn't like it. He doesn't get it. And soon he'll be gone. it'll be like a weird blip.
He is crap at it as well. He's genuinely a bad politician. Omar says, after that statement, I've never been more convinced that Starmer doesn't make any decisions at all. That begs the question, what 65 IQ pond scum is he taking orders from? Morgan McSweeney.
Morgan McSweeney, yeah.
we know.
Until he shouted at me the other day, you're supposed to be protecting me. Did you hear that one?
Yeah.
Screamed at McSweeney.
Apparently, yeah. But the problem is
love
McSweeney's...
To hear scream, what that sounds like.
Yeah, a Dalek.
McSweeney's Mandelson's creature, isn't he? Like, he's his protege. So it's like, why have you got...
And they're all connected.
Well, exactly. But Morgan McSweeney apparently specifically is like the protege of Peter Mandelson. So it's like, why are you surrounded by these disgusting swamp creatures that also love Epstein?
Yeah. McSweeney lobbied very hard for Mandelson and Starmer, like you say, because he's weak and doesn't know anything about politics, just went, okay. Because he doesn't know anything, so he needs people to lead him. Yeah. But we really need to see how long... I don't know... Will Mandelson come out? You know the secret thing that everyone's talking about with Starmer a while ago? Isabel Oakeshott was saying, like, oh, his private life is irregular or something like that, or unconventional. I just wonder if Mandelson will finally break that story.
But we already know about the Rent Boys.
Satirical content. Well, I mean, let's see what... I don't know, I just wonder if Mandelson hates you, I just wonder what stories will come out about Starmer soon.
Dread to think. No, it's the one about Diane Abbott the other day, though. It was from years ago.
From Ovenden.
Yeah, like it was like 2017 or something, wasn't it? It was actually ages ago. And so it's just like, right, so you've been sat in this kompromat for ages. And it's really petty. It's
I'm sure they all have kompromat, but also they're all so insecure and petty themselves that other people's petty stuff, like, they see it as life-ruining.
But it was really...
Wasn't like, it F, marry, kill?
Yeah, yeah. And it was like, oh, I'd shag Diane Abbott or something. It's like, okay, like, go and join your party with Jeremy Corbyn, who has done that.
Like, no wonder he hates women.
But, like, why is this cancelable? Like, this is totally trivial. It means nothing. Yeah. You know, so anyway... Brian says, Sakira is a great actor. He can read a script like Laurence Olivier, but 10 seconds later, when he has to ad lib, he sounds like Frank Spencer doing a Zippy impression. Yeah, that's another thing, because he knows that he's about to start lying. Just bald faced lies. Omar says, it's called Your Party because they never had any cohesive aims except steal power by any means necessary. At best, they are defined by their hatred and contempt for the British natives. Well, yeah, but that's page one of the manifesto. Isn't it?
When they eventually get round to writing it.
Yeah.
Pay £10 to access our manifesto.
I mean,
do not pay the £10.
I love just how obviously a scam it is. Right? It's just so, you know, your party dash membership. Oh, yeah, isn't it? Unbelievable. Jimbo says, Sultana has been having a slow-motion public breakdown for a few years now, as her toxic student politics fails to capture the British public. She's simply a cry-bully scorpion. You can tell that not many people have said no to her in her life. What do you think? Is she having a breakdown?
I mean, what is there to break down? She's useless in the first place. Like,
is she personally having a breakdown?
No, this is just the obvious logical conclusion of someone like Zara Sultana being a political figure in the public space. She's an idiot.
Yeah, she doesn't strike me as any more entitled than the average leftist.
Yeah, she's fairly stock and trade, isn't it?
She did call everyone at the march fascist. That was my big
But they all do.
I know, yeah, I know. The idea that the British ordinary people have just disappeared and been replaced by hundreds of thousands of fascists. I mean, in a way, let them believe that.
I did a podcast essay with Arch where we're going through this video. It's a half-hour-long video of these two leftists from some called Workers Hammer or something. It's just like a tiny YouTube channel with, like, you know, 500 subscribers. But they had been at the counter-protest, and they just sat down like, we got crushed. They're not really fascists. There were a million of them there, and there were like 5,000-10,000 of us, and we got absolutely crushed. How do we get to this point? And they were basically like, so the problem is, we're like bringing in all of these immigrants that's destroying their country, and then we turn up with refugee welcome signs, and actually, that's making everyone hate us. But the problem is, we're totally in favor of this agenda. We're totally in favor of bringing the immigrants in and then making them smush together with the working class. And so I don't know what we're going to do. And it's like, yeah, you're pretty screwed, bro. Glad that's not my problem.
I think they'll stop talking about the immigrants and just focus on the rich all the time. But they're missing that big component. Do they have the balls to actually say, even from their economic perspective, that dilutes the labor?
They did admit that it hurts the working class economically.
That's what I'm saying. Will they admit
now they're
that?
In favour of it.
Because they can go for that angle. That's actually a safe angle for the left. Yeah. They don't have to go into like race and stuff. They can just go, actually, this is crippling wages.
It's that simple. You know? And you've got to stop immigration. And you'd think this would be a really easy win for the left, actually.
Well, I saw people on the YouTube clip of my segment yesterday where I was talking about all the HMO stuff. There was one or two lefties in the comments complaining that, oh, why do you think this is a problem? And I'm like, okay, so you're on the landlord side now? Like landlords taking government money to airdrop like foreigners.
God bless you, Serco.
Into your neighborhood. Like, that's the one place where I'm like, yeah, maybe some landlords are scumbags.
Oh, I agree, yeah.
But these guys are like, no. As long as they're doing it to hurt white people, it's fine.
So Duke of Yorkshire says, do you think even the Greens would say no to Zara at this point? And that's actually the most bizarre thing about all of this, right? Like, there's loads of, like, splinter left-wing groups, but every single one of them has exactly the same suite of beliefs and exactly the same policies. Like, why don't you all just join the Green Party then?
Yeah, because like Owen Jones has said it's all about the Greens. So he's saying even the Greens, but the Greens are seen as, like, in the ascendant, and they're seen as probably they'll get more votes. They've got that mad new leader, Zach thingy.
Yeah.
And they actually probably will do better than your party. It is strange. Why do they need them and the Greens?
Yeah, but why doesn't Corbyn just join them, Sultan?
Are they not sufficiently mental for you?
everything is egos for the people at the top.
Mm.
They don't want to join a party. They want to lead a party.
Yeah.
Even Jeremy Corbyn, who's like, no, it needs to be democratic, he still wants to be seen as like the face of it.
And the thing is, he kind of is. Why don't they just let Corbyn take the lead?
Yeah. Anyway, we've run out of time and we've got Lads Hour in half an hour. So if you're a member on the website, please join us for that, where we're going to be discussing what happened to Bread Tube. We're going deep into the archives for this.
Been looking forward to this one for a long
time. Yeah, we've been planning it for a few weeks now, so it should be a good time. And for everybody else, thank you very much for joining us. We hope you have a good weekend. We'll see you all next week. Take care.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven!
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.